Well, welcome back to the second half of tonight's Radio 3 in concert with me, Jamie McDougall, here in Edinburgh's Usher Hall. It's the 70th anniversary of the festival, and we are here enjoying a rather unique occasion. Two of the world's finest orchestras, the Royal Scottish National Orchestra and the Marinsky Orchestra from St. Petersburg, come together to play Shostakovich's colossal Symphony No. 4. This symphony was in fact given its Western premiere here at an Edinburgh Festival in 1962, and Shostakovich attended the festival himself. The 3 weeks of the festival crammed in many of his string quartets, concertos for cello and violin, as well as his symphonies, number 6, 8, 9, 10, 12, and the 4th, performed by the Philharmonic Orchestra under Gennady Rozhdestvensky. By the time Stalin's notorious article appeared in Pravda decrying Shostakovich's music as an enemy of the state, his fourth symphony was almost finished. The first performance was abandoned, and there's still some controversy over it. Either Shostakovich withdrew it to save face for the orchestra, who were put under incredible pressure from the authorities, or Shostakovich himself wasn't happy about the work. For whatever reason, once Stalin was out the way, it took almost a quarter of a century for audiences to hear it. It's not the longest symphony. That accolade goes to Shostakovich's 7th, the Leningrad. But it is the largest as far as players go. 20 woodwinds, 17 brass, and large percussion and string sections. In all, 125 musicians are needed on stage in a scale comparable to Mahler. On comes the leader of the Marinsky Orchestra, who's leading the Marinsky and the RSNO this evening. That's Olga Volkova. Well, Shostakovich had in fact been studying Mahler's works, and much of his influence can be found here in the Fourth Symphony, not just in size of orchestral forces. The symphony's first movement plays with two ideas. An unapologetic mighty march contrasts with a lost-sounding solo bassoon line. The second movement is the simplest of the three, with intricate percussion towards the end. And before the final movement sits a distorted waltz between two scherzo-like chunks and ends stretched out with a dying farewell call between trumpet, harp and celeste. I spoke to tonight's conductor, Valery Gergiev, and asked him, given the large forces in the symphony, how does he pick apart and rehearse a work like this?
The character of composition is in the center of our work. But the best way is to find easy and very immediate association with something you can even invent, yeah, that helps the sound or that helps the character of the piece to be understood. And with such a grand composition, you need to master the art of contrasts. It is not only how loud or how quiet is the sound on stage, what is behind this forte or piano. I can even say thousands of different details from the same characteristic forte, but it can be angry, it can be furious, it can be so wonderfully light, elegant, that orchestra, being a 100-piece orchestra on stage, can produce a very easy sound, dreamy and even sweet. You really have to stay with the composer all the time. So that makes the presence of conductor sometimes very important. You will have to make sure that 100 musicians or more are performing like one unity, especially when you call two orchestras together.
Valery Gergiev, and out he comes to end this evening's concert from the Usher Hall as part of the Edinburgh International Festival, conducting the Marinsky Orchestra and the Royal Scottish National Orchestra in Shostakovich's Fourth Symphony.